Hi, welcome to Just Friend Zone. I'm Kevin.
I'm Jackie.
I'm Josh.
I'm Damien.
So last week, we mentioned that Damien and Jackie were off on vacation. Clearly, they're with us today. So we want to talk today about their trips, how it went, and different things like that. They'll tell us where they went, and then we can talk more about that later. So with that out of the way, Jackie, where were you?
I went to Thailand.
Mm. Okay.
And actually, my first time flying.
Ever?
Ever.
What? Like, what?
I said I got my passport last year in like September or August.
Wait, you've never flown like even in like within America?
No.
What?
Okay, that's kind of wild.
That's crazy. Okay,
like,
so
the farthest I've gone before that is like Vegas or Arizona.
You've never traveled outside of Vegas, Arizona, and California?
I've never visited any other state except those two.
And that's all been by car? That hasn't been
it's
wow.
Been by car.
Wow.
So I guess first question for me is what's your thoughts on customs and airplane travel for the first time? What are some of your give us some of your highlighted notes there?
I was like, oh, it's my first flight, and I'm like, wait, my first flight is international and it's all the way to Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the plane ride was so long because we had our flight from we had to go to Taiwan first, and that was like 16, maybe 17 hours.
I think it's 17 because I also flew to Taiwan first for my, you know, as part of a connecting flight.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. then we're supposed to have a two, 3 hour layover in Taiwan, but our plane got there late. So when we landed, we had to like rush to our transfer flight.
Oof.
But then from Taiwan to Thailand and Bangkok, it was only like 3 hours, a little over 3 hours. But like it was funny. Like I'm sleeping, and then I wake up, and then I look outside, and I'm like, oh, it's still dark. And then I go back to sleep. I look outside. Oh, it's still dark.
Was the flight from Taiwan to Thailand like a commercial, like a smaller plane or international plane?
It was a smaller plane.
It's like two rows split, right? Kind of like, because international is usually three rows, right? Where it's like.
Oh no, I think
middle.
This one was three rows as well. We had the two on the side, the four in the middle, and then the two on the side. Yeah, I went to Thailand, you guys.
what was the airline that you flew?
We flew
like,
China,
getting there.
China Airlines.
Hmm.
There and
the whole...
back. Well, no. So, funny story, actually. When I met my brother Donovan, like, we were waiting to board our flight, and he was like, what are you gonna do the whole time for the flight? Like, did you download any music, any movies? And I looked at him and I was like, no.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, no, I heard they have movies on the plane.
Oh my gosh.
So then, like, using the airport Wi-Fi, I like downloaded the whole season of Arcane on Netflix. I downloaded Kakiguri, the card gambling one. And then I also downloaded Violet Evergarden, the movie, but I didn't get to it. I did watch the free movies on the plane, though. But I think it was just so long. And, like, you know when you're, like, just sitting for so long that you're, like, your feet get swollen? Like, I experienced that for the first time because you're not mm-hmm. moving. There's no circulation, so like your like feet are like puffy and squishy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, look at my feet.
Yeah, that's how you see a lot of people like on international flights. They'll just get up and start walking up and down the aisles, mm-hmm. just like to get their legs flowing like with blood and stuff. So I saw that a couple times when I've flown internationally. That's kind of crazy. Like, it blows my mind that like you didn't fly at all until now, and like your first experience was like to the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I already hate flying. Like, I hate flying personally. Like, I hate traveling because flying is such a like hassle for me. And that's only for like those like 3, 4, 5 hour flights, you know? Like, international ones are even worse. I think if that was my very first experience, I'd be like, I'm never flying again, dude. Like, no.
That's wild. Also with the flight. First time eating airplane food. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It was mid. You know?
What was the menu?
Honestly, like, the choices were all, like, Asian-orientated. Mm-hmm. Because we were on China Airlines. Mm-hmm. But I think the breakfast options, they were like, oh, do you want, like, this? Or do you want, like, eggs and hash brown?
How many meals do they give on an international flight? Because I haven't been on an international flight since, like, I was a kid, so I don't think it counts.
I think I had 3.
Oh, wow.
It was, like, the dinner one when we boarded at night, because my flight was at, like, 12, like, 1 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So, like, the dinner one. And then we're supposed to sleep. And then it was, like, I think breakfast and then lunch.
I think I had 3 or 4 as well on my international flight. It's basically same thing, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And to Jackie's point, because it's so dark outside, you're just like, my body tells me this doesn't make sense what I'm eating, but I just eat no matter what. So I had no problem with just going like, it's good, it's mid, but it's good. And I'll just scarf it down no matter what. Mm-hmm. Kayla said that when we were coming back from our trip, apparently I was so tired, I would fall asleep, wake up, because they would say it's time to eat. I'd finish my meal, like the whole thing, and then even some of Kayla's. I'd go back to sleep. I'd wake up for the second meal, eat the whole thing without going to the bathroom. I'd fall asleep again, and it was like, oh, it's dinner time, and I'd eat the whole thing. And she's like, honey, do you have to use the restroom? And I was just like, no, I'm good. And I just went knocked out again for the rest of it.
That's crazy. Y'all wild.
The flight food was like the beginning of my struggle to eat during this whole trip. Like, not struggle to eat because I got, like, food poisoning or anything, but it's like, I was never hungry, but then I was like, I paid for it, so I have to eat some of it.
Mm. Also, it's like, you can't eat anything else, right? Like, you're
yeah, but, like, I wasn't hungry, and then they brought food, and I was like, I guess I have to eat it. Like, this trip to Thailand, I have never been constantly full in my whole life. Like, I had to tell them, like, I'm not eating. I just woke up. Like, I just woke up, and then, like, at the house, they got, like, they went out to get, like, sticky rice, like, pork skewers, and, like, fresh soy milk. And I'm like, I can't eat right now. I just woke up.
Dude, that sounds so good, though.
But I know. It was really good, though. Honestly, Thailand was a trip. I enjoyed it.
First world problems for real. I don't want to eat right now.
I mean, like, just everything is so cheap out there. Like, the food is so cheap.
Mm-hmm. But it's what would you say is probably, like, the best meal you had? And then in conjunction with that, maybe it's the same, maybe it's different. But what was the most memorable thing that you tried, like something new or something that's not available here that you tried over there that made a really big impression on you? Like, oh, I would totally get this again if only it was available in the States, kind of thing.
Oh, I have one for I won't get it again. And then I have one for I would get it again.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so like I had a lot of mangosteen.
Mm-hmm.
Like fresh off the tree, like type. I was like, damn, this is super sweet. Like, it was, like, so sweet. Like, the one from the tree was so sweet that it stayed, like, my tongue was, like, stinging.
Oh, wow.
And then, because I can't get that here in the States, so I would definitely have that again. Another one, I would have it again. I'm not sure if the translation process is right, but one night, we went out with my uncle's nephew and his wife, so he's kind of my cousin, but they took me, my brother, and his girlfriend out that night, and I think he said it was like a Michelin star Pad Thai restaurant where they're famous for, And we ordered the special one where the pad thai is wrapped in the like an egg omelet thing.
Oh.
Like, I have a video of, like, Becky, like, opening it and the noodles coming out. And I was like, it was actually pretty good. And, like, that also falls into the we were so full story. So, like, we ate already, like, so much during the day. And then they came to pick us up and take us out to, like, eat and eat some more and then go to the night market. And then we were like, we are so full. Like, for full in Thai is in. So I was like, I'm so in. So, but then Donovan actually finished the whole thing, like, because we and Becky were supposed to share, but then he ended up ordering us our own, and he was like, this is actually so good. And he ate it all, but I couldn't eat it all, so I just packed it to go. And then he was like, oh no, we're gonna go eat some more food. And we were like, we're so full. So they took us to go eat a yen tao pho. And they ordered, like, these tiny little chicken satay sticks. It was probably, like, this big. Like, our listeners can see. How long is this? Maybe, like, 3 inches.
Like, right? 6 inches right there.
Is this six or three? Three, four? 4 inches?
I don't know. 4 inches? So, and did you say that was tiny, or did you say that was big for the satay?
It was tiny compared to what's here in the States.
Stop. Weird children.
Stop it.
The context for our listeners, Kevin and Josh are dying in the background.
I'm talking about a chicken skewer, okay? Alright. Anyways, like, the skewer stick is like, I don't know, this big. But honestly, it was small. The chicken on the skewer was small, okay? And me, Becky, and Donovan split that into 3 pieces because we were full.
And then what was the thing that you said that you would not get it again? Like, if it was available in the States or just in general, if you were to go back to Thailand? Because those all sound like things that you said that you would definitely try it again and want to get. Yeah. But what was the thing that you didn't care for necessarily?
I wouldn't. It's like an experience type thing. I wouldn't eat crickets or silkworms again. Because I did try them because we were drinking.
But then
it was like a mixture of like little crabs and then like crickets and the silkworms. I think they're silkworms.
I don't think I would ever be open to trying silkworms, but I think I would be open to trying crickets. Because I think I used to, I forgot where as a kid I saw it, but I remember it looking so good. But then I just didn't get the chance to try it. So, okay, good to know.
I wasn't going to eat it at first, but then Donovan was like, I'm going to eat it. I was like, oh, you're going to eat it? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'll eat it with you. But then we were also drinking, so.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, so for context for our viewers or listeners, my trip was where I went to Vietnam, then Singapore, and then Bali or Indonesia. I think out of all those three places, my favorite meal or most memorable meal was the chili crab in Singapore. It's just this, it costs like over $100 for the crab alone. So that was easily the most expensive meal I spent on the entire trip. But it's like this big plate with crab that basically all the parts are like cooked in this like chili. It's almost like a chili consistency, but it's with like egg and it's with all the inner parts of the crab and the crab meat mixed together. You could eat it with the rice. You could scoop it in. You could just, oh, it was so good. I'd have that again in a heartbeat. Meals that I didn't care for. I would say Bali was my favorite part of the trip as far as things to do. But the food was also very kind of mid. Like, oh, really? Yeah, like their regional dishes that you would try as far as like native to Indonesia, they're like tasty, but they're not like super delicious compared to like the better meals that they had there were when they made kind of mixed fusion of their food of other people's food. So, for example, they had like Indonesian pizza that was really good. Or like, you know, their American restaurants, like I had a nice T-bone steak that actually was really good over there. And all the meals like were pretty cheap. Like I don't think I broke $50 in one sitting.
Wow. Yeah. Do you think the crab dish was more expensive because it was in Singapore compared to like Bali or Vietnam?
I think so. I think that's part of it. Because, you know, you have to factor in that they're in a city, that there's, like, rent or, like, their lease that goes into it. But I think that's also just, like, market price for crab as well. So it's, like, I would say it's a little bit more expensive, but it's like, comparable to here on, like, how expensive crab could be when you order it at a restaurant.
I mean, but you would expect that here, right? Like, $100 easy, but then...
Right.
In Asia, usually food's known to be cheaper, so I'm surprised that it was like $100.
Well, so it was 100 Singaporean dollars, so it's still cheaper than US dollars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when I said $100, I meant it was 100 Singaporean dollars. So it is cheaper in general, but that was still the most expensive meal that I had, but I would pay it every single time just to have it again.
What's like the estimate on the conversion rate though for like 100 Singaporean dollars to US dollars?
I think it's like, I have an app. I could look it up rather than guess. But I think it was like 80 cents to the dollar, roughly around there.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's still not cheap though.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah. I don't know, Jackie, I'm pretty sure you didn't just eat food, though, right? Like, you did more than just...
Oh, yeah. But the food was, like, it was really nice. Like, you could get a meal for a good enough meal. I guess you could call it a snack, but it's honestly, like, a portion. For as low as, like, 200 baht, 150 baht, which is, like, $3 here.
Oh.
Like, I only know the conversion for $100 because that's all I was exchanging at a time. So, like, 100 USD converts to 3,426 baht.
Oh my gosh, it was so hard dealing with the conversion rate for Vietnam and Bali because it's, like, literally in the millions. To answer the question from before, 100 US dollars will get you 134 Singaporean dollars. So you get an extra, like, $34, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so then that means, yeah, about like $80 probably for you in terms of that 100 Singaporean dollars is probably roughly ish around the 80 range.
Right. And $100 in Vietnamese dong is you actually get like 2.5 million Vietnamese dollars. So it was like a, like you had to make sure to have like a converter or something just for you to stay on top of like what things actually cost. Because it's easy for them to obviously like, you know, label something and just like change it or just like see that, is this really worth this much? You still compare it to back home as like, is this worth X amount in US dollars? And then you say it's a good deal or not from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like for example, like a bowl of pho here, in comparison to there, right? Like you have to look at like a bowl of pho there, like if they're like charging you like, you know, like 15 US dollars for it, it's like, well, should it really be that much kind of thing?
Yeah. So when I was in Vietnam, Kayla and I had the same impression where it wasn't as cheap as we expected it to be, but there's two things that go into that. One, since we're feeling the recession here, if we feel it here, the rest of the world feels it since we're such a major market, you know, such a major economy a major part of the global economy. So Vietnam prices were a little bit more expensive than what I was being told. Like I remember I was told a bowl of pho, for example, would cost like a dollar. Now it's like anywhere from like 3 to 5, depending on where you go, more realistically now. But the second part that goes into that is people here, when you hear those phrases, you get it from like the older generation who went to Vietnam back in the 90s, and that's the prices that they're comparing it to. Like, oh, you can get pho for a dollar. Like, no, that's still not the case. Like, people have lives to live and, you know, things that they also have to pay for in a recession or an inflation of their own. But it's still, you know, massively
Yeah, cheaper than here. Yeah,
than here.
For sure. So, like, what did you guys do that was not food related?
I can go first and give Jackie a little bit of time to think, just because the way that Kayla and I, the way that I like to operate on vacation, I actually don't like to relax as much. Yes, relaxing is part of it. Yes, I know I'm enjoying, like, not having to work. But I am more so waking up at 5 or 6 a.m. every day still and just seeing how much we can do. So we booked food tours. We went on a 3-night cruise in Ha Long Bay. We did biking tours. We did, like, we woke up at 1 a.m. so that way our driver in Bali can pick us up at 2 to take us to a sunrise hike up their active volcano in Bali, because there's still a bunch of active volcanoes over there. So we got to see the sunrise there. So I was just constantly up and doing a bunch of things just to really experience the culture and the people and the surroundings, everything that was going on over there.
Since you did a lot, right? Like that, I guess that kind of explains, you know, when you were talking earlier about your flight back, how you would eat food, wake up, eat food, wake up, like just going back and forth. Like you probably like all of that, like sleep deprivation, I guess you say, like kind of caught up to you like then. Or do you feel like it was just kind of like you were just going off of like pure, not adrenaline, right? But then just kind of like the desire to keep doing things and fitting more things in. And then like once you finally were like, I'm going home, like just kind of like your body crashed.
I don't think that was it necessarily. I think I'm just always in the mood to eat. So that's more so the case. I actually didn't have that hard of a time adjusting going to Asia. Our flight was at midnight, which people, just a public service announcement, check your visas. If you do not have your name correctly spelled exactly as your visa, you may not be allowed on the flight. I almost had an incident where I almost didn't get on, and that would have messed up the entire vacation. But I basically slept, I think, 12 hours from flying from LAX to Taiwan. And the last 5 hours I just spent watching movies on their plane. I tried watching Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. And I gotta say, picking a really intense, like, depressing movie for a plane ride going into vacation, probably not the best idea to get in the mood.
Definitely not.
Yeah. So from there, I think that my body was fully adjusted, like getting to and being able to do a bunch of stuff there. Mm-hmm. I would say probably one of my more memorable experiences that I got to do was in Bali. Their main religion is Hinduism, and they have this really sacred temple that they temple and shrine that's basically they're called what was it called so basically it's a place where you can go through this process called purification. So there's an underground spring that wells up into the temple. So they consider that holy water, and they marked it as a holy place. And then from that underground spring, the water flows into these several fountains where basically people take turns going in line and dipping their heads into the fountain to kind of like purify themselves as they go out throughout this journey for each of these steps. So like, for example, this fountain was, for curing thoughts of anger. This fountain is for your hair, for, you know, saying to bless yourself with better hair, for better teeth, for no more bad dreams, etc. So you just kind of like, and the process was that you had to change into their traditional robes, and then everyone got in the water, so you were like submerged in water the entire time, and then dipped your head into these several fountains and basically prayed at every fountain. And then because Hinduism allows for, like, they don't say you have to pray to our god, just pray to whatever god you believe in, it was kind of like a nice kind of like open experience that felt really cleansing, and I felt light afterwards. So it was like things like that where I just want to be able to, you know, get up, run around and see, like, what do people care about in these towns, these places, these things.
Mm. Really cool.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's really cool to, like, I think that's, like, one of the best things about being able to travel is that you get to experience other cultures and see how differently the world is on a on another side of the planet, you know? I think it's especially interesting, even, like, you can see it just from, like, when you go from, you know, California to, like, a different part of America. And so it's, like, even more pronounced when you go from America to a different country, right? With, like, a whole different set of culture and history of its own. Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things about international travel. I just hate traveling internationally.
I don't mind it because I, along with eating, I can fall asleep anywhere in any sort of state. Like, mm-hmm. for some reason, anytime I get in a vehicle and I'm not the one driving, I just knock out instantly. So I don't have those kind of problems. So it makes it easier for me. Jackie, going back to you, just because I know you wanted to be able to answer that question too. What were some of the things that you got to do that were not food related that you just kind of got to partake in at Thailand?
We went to this mall. I know people say it two ways, but it's either Icon Siam or Icon Siam. I think it's Icon Siam. It's this fancy mall in Bangkok. Even though there's multiple, this one, I think this one had maybe a lot of floors, but the inside is like so nice that I haven't seen anything like it before. And like when we'd go to the mall there, we would go to the international floor because everyone wanted to check out like Gucci, LV, like brand name stores there. And I was like, I need to go to the restroom. So I went because I'm like, I ain't buying nothing from these stores. And the restroom was so nice. I was like, they had heated toilet seats, the bidet and everything. I was like, each floor has its own different restroom. That's crazy to like fit the theme of the floor. But there was like a waterfall thing from the ceiling. And then the back just leads out into the river. And then I know you said no more food stuff, but we ate on a boat going up and down the river. yeah. What else did we do? We went to a lot of temples. Honestly, our trip the first week and a half was, I felt like it was really jam-packed because Donovan and Becky had to leave early because he had to go back to work. We went to a lot of temples. Maybe a little too much.
A question. When you say you went to temples, like, I'm assuming these are religious temples, right?
And so, oh, yeah. Every temple there is religious. Like, even the dress, like, whatever you wear, you have to cover up. Mm-hmm. And, like, because the weather is, like, so humid and hot, and I have to wear, like, these, like, pants or, like, long skirts. And, like, it's not thin material either, so, like, no air goes through and, like, you're just sweating. But, like, no shoulders, no legs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you take off your shoes when you go inside. But
Most of Thailand or, you know, Thai people, as far as religion, it's Buddhism, right?
Yeah.
It's my understanding. Because I actually had to do the same thing when we went. There was a place in central Vietnam where we got to see what they had like a giant Lady Buddha statue, and then when we went into the temple, same thing, I was wearing shorts and they had to like give me like the monk robe to cover my lower half to make sure that it, like, I wasn't being indecent in their holy place. So
yeah, you can't be flashing that much skin, Damien.
No
yeah. But
for the temples, I was like amazed and overwhelmed to see how big they are. Like the building itself, the statues are huge. And it's like, I'm like, what are these made out of? They're like huge. They're like gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Like even driving on like through like the forest or something when we were going to see this other temple, like there's just like just a gigantic Buddha statue that you could just see from so far away and it's just there. And like the spots for it were honestly pretty nice too. I was like, wow, this is nothing compared to the temples here in the US. Like, there's mm-hmm. temples everywhere. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
One of the fun things we did was that we went to this, I forgot the name. It's on my phone, but I don't have time to look for it. It's this resort, and it leads to, like, this river with an ongoing current. And we stayed there for, I think, two nights? I think we stayed there for two nights or one night, I can't remember. But we stayed in, on the river, we stayed in these, rooms on the river. And then, like, thank God for, like, resorts and hotels having AC in the room, because it's hot. It's hot.
Same. I was looking forward to getting back to the hotel room so much. If I didn't carry a water bottle with me constantly, I felt like I was just going to pass out. Either that or just get really irritable and just start being very aggressive for no apparent reason, just because just existing outside is no bueno by any means.
But at this resort, what my aunt told us was that we all assumed we were going to be in like the floaty tubes going down the river, right? But we're actually just wearing life jackets. And we weren't sure if we were actually going to go in the river because it was starting to rain hard. So we're all on the rafting, the motor raft, and like they drive us upstream. And then my aunt translated, the guy was like, okay, if you're going to jump off, you better jump off now. And we're like, so we have our life jacket on. And then everyone, you just basically just jump in the river. And like the raft will meet you down where they picked, like we boarded. So I was like, it's raining. I don't want to go anymore. And my uncle was like, no, you're going. So then my aunt went in first. My brother went in right after her because he didn't want to lose sight of her. And then I went in after. And then like, I was like, oh my God, it's raining. Like the rain is just hitting my face. Okay. Mind you, I have what I have now, lashes and my eyebrows on. So I was like, am I going to lose my eyelashes in this river? And like, here I am just in a life jacket and I'm all like trying to get back to the raft. And then Donovan's like, Jackie, just flow with the current. Why are you crying? I'm not crying. I'm just laughing. I'm laughing because it's so funny. I don't know why I found it so funny. And then my aunt's like, I'm going to lose my contacts. And then we start laughing some more and Donovan's like, you two brought the things that you did not need for this. So then I make it back to the raft first, because the current was kind of strong, so you have to actually like swim back to get to the ladder, or you're going to miss in. Swept away, I guess, so I got to go rescue you. But I got up to the ladder, and then like my aunt was going to miss it. So Donovan was like, Bopong, you're going to miss it. Gave her a big old tug. Oh, you're going to miss it. And like tugged her all the way over there to grab the ladder. But I think jumping in the river was actually pretty fun.
So you'd do it again?
I would definitely do it again.
I feel like I wouldn't trust that by any means. It's funny when you're on vacation and people are like, oh, people do this all the time. You'll be fine. Just do it kind of thing. You're just like, okay. But floating down a river, my biggest fear is like water, like things involving water, which is ironic because I feel like that's all I ever did on my whole vacation. So that sounds, I could see how that would be super intense for the, you know, driver to just be like, all right, get off the boat into the river and just float. Okay, bye. I'll see you downstream.
But mind you, this is a resort. So like on one side you have all the rooms that are on the water, right? The other side of the river looks like a forest. But we're like literally in the middle of nowhere and there's a river and a resort. I would definitely go again because me and Dom were like, I wish we spoke fluent Thai so we could bring our friends here to experience this, because I honestly had a lot of fun.
I don't know. I'm terrified because I'm like, Damien brought this up of saying like, you know, it's a little sus to like just trust like the tour guide when they say like, oh, people do this all the time. Like there's nothing to worry about. Because, like, I read a story where this guy went bungee jumping somewhere, and then the bungee cord snapped, like, when it reached its full length. And, like, thankfully, he was bungee jumping over a river, so he fell into the river, but he still went full speed into that river, and I think he, like, broke a couple bones. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to do something that, like, is potentially exhilarating just because someone says it's safe and people do it all the time, because that could happen. You could be that, like, one in a million, you know?
Because this spot was a spot a lot of people don't know about. Only the locals know about it, is what I was told.
So what if you get washed downstream and they're like, oh, we were supposed to catch you, but we didn't, you know? It's like, well, where do you go? You just get, like, washed down to the ocean or what? You know, I don't know. I'm scared of that. I'm also scared of the ocean. This is why you guys will never catch me on a cruise ship, because I'm terrified of the ocean, especially the ocean at night. I just think about, like, we don't know everything there is to know about the ocean. And so it's like, especially when you're out there in all that darkness, like, I don't know, man. Don't.
Oh, yeah, also, I agree.
I have that same fear, Kevin. Like, no. I just like the idea that something could be underneath me, but I don't know it. I'm just like, nope, I'd rather not be in there in general. Like,
That's what I'm saying. And
but
then,
this,
like,
is a river, not the ocean. Like, I'm scared of the ocean, but this is a river.
I don't know, man. I get terrified if I'm, like, in the pool, you know, and, like, something touches my foot. So I'm not gonna take my chances of, like, out in the wild with the river. Like, yeah, no thanks. Like, And also, like, Amanda and I talked about this too, like, where, like, when we first started dating, like, we both said we'd never go on a cruise ship. And I was like, oh, why would you never go on a cruise ship? Because I explained, like, why I would never go on one. And she was like, oh, because all the water is, like, just recycled water throughout the whole trip. So it's like, if you're, the longer you're on there, the longer that water is just recycled. And so it's like, it's just dirty. Like, I don't know. Like, of course they treat it and they clean it, right? But, like, think about, like, I'm just saying, you know, like, if you needed more reasons to not go on a cruise ship, like, that's one of those. Like, sure, you can get over your fear of the unknown of the ocean. Like, how are you going to avoid the chemically treated recycled water? Give me a good answer to that. I'm just saying. So, yeah. Sorry, that was a really random side tangent to your river story, Jackie. Yeah. Continuing on, I think Jackie mentioned, you know, that this whole, like, going down the river thing was something only locals know. I'm curious, then, you know, because I'm pretty sure you guys didn't just do all, like, the typical touristy stuff. You guys probably found some, like, out of the way things to do, or something that's, like, more of, like, a local thing to do. Like, what would you guys say is, like, one thing that if someone else were to go to Thailand or to go to Bali, Singapore, Vietnam, like, what's something that you're like, do you know what? Forget all of, like, the touristy things. This is something that I recommend you need to do.
I'm trying to remember, because we did do tourist stuff, but the stuff we went to was stuff only that wasn't, like, marked as tourist places. I mean, I guess it's only, like, the season, but if you go during Thai, Lao, Cambodian New Year, which is when we went, it's called the Songkran Festival. And the village or hometown that I was at is actually my grandma's hometown. And I met her sister. She looks exactly like my grandma. Like, I almost cried. I was like, oh my God. But I met her. Obviously, language barrier. So my aunt and uncle were translating for us. The festival, it's basically, like, you just throw, like, water, like, you go through the streets, water's thrown at you, baby powder's put on your face and everything, but it's just to, like, wish you good luck in the new year. But it was honestly, I was like, some of these hits are targeted, you know, you don't see a lot of blonde Asians out here. And let me tell you, when they get, like, ice cold water and throw it at you, it's ice cold water and throw it. But then some of them will ask and be like, oh, is it okay to touch your face? And you're like, yeah. And they put the baby powder on your face and everything. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is random just because I have to ask this. You went to Thailand. Did you see the ladyboys?
I did see ladyboys. But some of them I could point out. But other ones, I couldn't point out, but then after looking at them, you could tell, like, they got stuff done on their face and everything. My aunt says the first thing people usually get done is their boobs. And, like, during the Songkran festival, nobody is out in, like, bikinis. You know, even though you're getting wet, people still cover up. So I was wearing, like, my uncle's, like, long sleeve fishing thing and shorts. But then, like, only the lady boys will be out wearing bikinis and everything. And I was like, she looks a little too tall. Her boobs do look done. She got some work done on her jaw and her nose. And then my uncle there, because we stayed with him and his family over there, he turned, because we were on the same bike cart thing. And he was like, Nungnu. And I was like, yeah. And then he was like, he pointed, there's this truck in front of us. And he said, "Oh, lady boy." And I was like, "They're all lady boys." Like, I could tell, but I was like, I wasn't too sure about her. And he was like, "Oh, lady boy."
Like, what is the reason for them all to, like, be in one truck together?
I mean, they're just all friends. Because they were, like, a group of friends. And then, like, because people have trucks out there. And, like, during the festival, people will sit in the back and, like, get water thrown at them, throw water at other people on the streets.
Uh-huh.
And I think they asked the driver, "Can we sit in the back of your truck?" And then he was like, "Okay." And then they're all in there.
What made it obvious, though? I know, like you said, that, like, you know, obviously their face is done, and then their boobs are the first thing that they do. But, like, can you, like, were there a few where you're like, "Oh, I don't know. Like, I'm confused." The reason why I ask is my coworker, she's Filipino, and the Philippines have a lot of lady boys too. And then she told me there's one way to find out, but I want to see if I'll tell you after you explain it.
For me, I mean, like, I could just see, like, they have work done, but then I would look how tall they are first, how slender they are second, and how big their feet are. But then, like, some are obvious. Like, you could tell, like, they got their nose done. The face is definitely smaller. But they still have big feet, big hands, even though they're just, like, white skin, light skin, got it all.
Because the way my coworker told me, because same thing, she went to the Philippines, and then her family member that lives there were like, "Oh, you can tell by their elbows." So, like, usually girls' elbows kind of point more inwards. Like, when you have your arms straight, the guy's arms are, like, a lot straighter. But then girls, like, tend to go inwards. And so if you look at their arms, and if their arms are straight, you can tell if they're a male or, like...
Oh, yeah. Jackie's arm is so straight.
What are we doing? I don't know about the elbow thing.
Yeah. No, I know what Josh is talking about, because especially if you look at, if you look at, like, for example, like Korean, like, K-pop idols, right? I feel like all the girls, like every girl K-pop idol, like their elbow will kind of like bend at like a almost hyperextended angle. But then none of the guys do, right? It's always like a normal angle, like regular. And the reason for that is that it has a lot more to do with actually like the arm muscle development than it does. Oh, whoa. Damien's arm hyperextends.
No, I don't think it's like hyperextend, but when you have it straight, it kind of, your elbow kind of tucks in a little bit for
yeah. So like Rosé is like a perfect example of someone whose elbow like does the thing that Josh is talking about, because her arm does like bend at an almost strange angle, and so that's what he's talking about, like in terms of the elbow angle thing. But like, okay, so this is another question I have, right? Like, lady boy is like a very like common term, right? So like, what about like, what would the opposite be, like man girl? Is that like just as common of a thing, or is it like not? Also, is this like a controversial topic? Am I getting into like
a little bit, yeah.
I'm getting into cancelable territory.
I was like, is this about our vacation, or is this about ladyboys? Like, it's kind of...
Sorry, I get distracted. You guys know.
I don't think I've seen any woman trying to be men besides like their just short hair, accessory wise, how the way they dress. Well, that's about it. They dress manly. They got the short haircut.
But is that as common as lady boys?
from my when I went, I definitely saw more ladyboys than the other way.
Okay. All right, I'll stop talking about ladyboys now. Sorry.
What's one thing you guys both missed? Because you guys were gone for like, what, 2 weeks each, right? About 2 weeks-ish?
Mine was almost 3 weeks, basically.
Mine was, I guess, almost 2.5 weeks.
What's the thing that you missed the most here? Like, of course, like family, friends, you know, that stuff. But like food, let's say, because you guys ate a lot of different types of food. What's like one food that you missed here? Because definitely, you know, the culture is different, right? In Thailand, it's like mostly Thai food. But because America, we have such a like a melting pot. We have so much different food here. What's the, like things you guys missed?
Is it only pertaining to food, or can I say about other things?
Well, just things in general. But I feel like family, friends is kind of like,
yeah, of course, like
if you don't miss them, you know.
Yeah, like what's a vacation without you getting a little homesick to some extent? I think for me, I didn't really miss much being back here. Other than what you mentioned, just because Singapore was modern enough to be able to have all those things that we have here, that if I wanted to get it over there, I could. And when I'm on vacation or traveling like that, I really just want to look for things that I want to eat rather than that I couldn't get here. Like, for example, there's so many McDonald's over there where I'm like, oh, like what's on the Vietnamese or the Singaporean McDonald's menu that's not over here. But I always kind of made sure to have the mindset of like, I can get that back home. I'm not going to get anything that's remotely similar to here, just because if I miss it, I'll have it when I get back. But in reality, I didn't necessarily. What I will tell you I missed was regular toilets. There was a couple of times where I had to stop at a toilet and ask the driver to pull over. And instead of our usual toilets, it was porcelain, but it was completely flat in the ground. And I was like, well, I knew I was going to have to do this someday. And here I am in this bathroom stall by the beach. So it's like one of those beach toilets to add on to it, you know, that sandy feel to it. And no toilet paper, no soap. All they had was a hose, a little hose to attach. And I just had to basically take off my underwear and shorts. And I was just spraying my butt, just like bending over and just spraying up my booty crack and just making sure it all gets out into the porcelain bowl on the ground. Luckily I didn't have any more accidents other than that. But yeah, I would say toilets for sure. Were probably like in that moment, not saying that I missed it all the time, but in that moment, I was just like just having that regular consistency no matter where I went kind of thing.
I'm like, me too. Okay. There's a lot of normal toilets in Thailand, right? When you stop at the gas station or those rest stops and everything. So there's I think I just needed to go. And, like, I didn't want to wait for a normal toilet. Or I don't know if they had normal toilets, but I'm assuming because there's a lot everywhere. But I chose to squat for the experience. But there's, like, a refillable, a thing that automatically refills with water, like a tiny tub. Maybe, like, I don't know, a big box. And then you have the where you squat, and it's just, like, a scooper that you scoop the water with. And that's how you clean yourself. That's how you flush it down the toilet. Just pour water in there and everything. And I was like, would I do this again? No, but I'm glad I did it.
Man. You guys just gave me flashbacks to when I went to India. Straight up. Like, I just feel like, because that's exactly what happened. Because I went to India for a month, you know. Back when I just graduated college, I went there for like a mission trip. I was there for a month, and yeah, like, I'm sure there are toilets, but where I was staying, it was exactly what Damien described. Porcelain, flat, the hole in the ground. But you got a little bit more advanced than me. We didn't have the hose. We also didn't have the little cup of water either, so, yeah. So you just got you got a scoop, and then you wash it later.
Ooh!
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the flashbacks I got. I just remember that. I was like, oh man, that's a memory that I blocked out, but it's coming back now.
Oh god.
For our listeners, I was watching Josh's face the entire time, and it was just pure horror.
The entire scene. Pure horror. He's disgusted.
Yeah. And the best part is that Josh is the one that picked me up from the airport, too, so...
You didn't go to the bathroom in the airport?
I don't have to. Well, I went to the bathroom when I was in the airplane, so I had to wash my hands eventually. And also, like, they did advise us to bring baby wipes with us to wipe our hands with after each bathroom trip.
Or your butt.
I mean, you could do that too, but I didn't for the experience. But yeah. And it's like, you know, I think a lot of people, like, they say, like, or like a lot of questions that you get is like, oh, like, what happens if you have diarrhea? You know, like, doesn't it like just get everywhere? And it's like, interestingly enough, I never had to deal with diarrhea when I was over there, just because, you know, like, I don't know what it is about the diet, but it's like your poop is just solid. It comes out and like real quick, like boop, 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 and then you just scoop all one clean wipe and you're done. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I remember one of the things that we had to look out for while traveling was obviously we figured that, you know, Gail and I both being Vietnamese, Vietnam would have been fine as long as we don't try to eat like street food that's like looks too questionable. Singapore, you know, no problem with having any sort of dietary issues. I remember a couple of people telling me to look out for what's called Bali belly, where, you know, apparently their food has a lot of oils, it can have a lot of things that can make people's stomachs upset. And the best tip for that is before you go on a travel trip somewhere, if you know that you have a sensitive stomach, to get activated charcoal pills. And if you think that you're going to be eating or wanting to just be safe for that day, just take one or two pills in the morning. That way you're safe for the entire day, and that way it doesn't upset your stomach, and that way when you you know, need to use restroom, it all comes out perfectly fine and you're not, you know, in too much pain or in too much restlessness from it.
How does the activated charcoal pill work?
I don't know. I didn't look too much into the research to it. Kayla did a lot more of the research than I did. But basically it's just, you can buy it off of Amazon. It's a regular looking pill. You just take it with some water, and then I can say that the fact that I didn't have any problems, I can't say if it necessarily worked, but I could also say that confidently I didn't have any problems to it. So at least give it a try, see if it helps.
I guess I'll keep it in mind. Yeah, I mean, it's a good remedy for sure. Like, if it's not, if you can't say, you know, with 100% confidence, but at the very least, it's like, well, it worked for me kind of thing, right? So,
yeah. Another tip I would say for people who are like, you know, wanting to travel, as we're all kind of getting back into that mindset of, you know, post-pandemic, wanting to experience new places, go try new things. Don't be afraid to also look up experiences on Airbnb. So if you're not necessarily too good at researching things, different guides, because I know like there's a bunch of like travel sites that can make you feel overwhelmed when you're planning things. There's actually when we were in Bali, there was like two or three tours that we booked straight from Airbnb experiences. And these were experiences that were like waterfall tours given to us by locals, that volcano hike that we did, that was actually booked through Airbnb experiences as well. A lot of these places are starting to be a little bit more advanced, a little bit more up to date with how they can try to get people to book tours with them. And that gives you a little bit more of a local flavor that goes along with it. I remember the first tour that we did in Bali, Kayla's cousin booked it. And it was where we went to three waterfalls, went to the water purification temple, which is called Turta Empul. I was finally able to look it up and see what the name was. So for people who want to check out what that is, you can literally type in water purification temple Bali and you'll be able to find it, but it's called Turta Empul. And then we were able to go to the Tagalalang rice fields after that and be able to take pictures in the rice fields. So it was like a whole day where the driver was super informative, telling us about different things, like as we drove through in, like, you know, Bali, and telling us different things about Indonesia, and, you know, just being able to experience it, yes, in a way that was part touristy, but also just having a little bit more personalized to you. I remember there was like a joke where, because Kayla and I were there for our honeymoon, the driver was like, oh, okay, so that means you're not MBA. And we're like, MBA? He was like, married because accident. So, because like basically, he was like, oh, so you're not pregnant because you're traveling. So, you know, he was like, oh, that means you're not MBA. So I'm like, I want to bring that back. Because in America, we call it a shotgun wedding. And so over there in Bali, they're like, MBA, marriage by accident.
Over here, MBA is a really good thing. Over there, not so much.
Watch Kevin go to Bali. He's like, yeah, I got an MBA. They're like, what?
No, my brother just got his MBA this weekend. So he just graduated with his MBA.
He has two. He has two kids too. So I mean, he does. I'm just kidding.
Both of them were definitely planned, though.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's crazy. I mean, so overall, like, you guys had a great experience, right? Like, 10 of 10 would do again type stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I don't think I would do Vietnam again. At least not for a while, just because I have other places I want to go visit. Mm-hmm. Highly encourage Bali for people who do want to go. Just because, like I said, my most expensive meal never broke $50, and that includes the T-bone steak. Mm-hmm. And if you're someone who wants to travel on a budget and be able to like get a lot for your money, I definitely recommend Bali specifically, because apparently the rest of Indonesia is known to be a little bit more, there's a lot more trash and a lot more pollution versus in Bali, because their religion is Hinduism. They actually, part of their religion is that they respect nature. So everything just looks like, it felt like I was in a Studio Ghibli movie. Kind of like small town, part incorporation with nature kind of feel with it.
Mm. That's cool.
Damien, I have a question for you.
What's up?
So I know you went to multiple places, but going to the spots or destinations that you wanted to go to, like say it's either Bali or Vietnam, how long were you in the car? How long was your car ride? Like the longest car ride?
For Vietnam, because we stayed in town, like pretty close to the main tourist areas, we actually didn't go in cars that often. We were walking around a lot, which made the heat so, so tough to deal with. So Vietnam, not so much. The most time that we spent in a car were mainly going from like the airport to our hotel or vice versa. So probably about an hour, maybe like half an hour to an hour. For in Bali, you pretty much have to take a car everywhere for the tours and everything. If you're booking a tour, oftentimes the tour will have a driver for you. So you don't need to book an individual driver for that. If you're trying to explore Bali on your own, you can hire like a personal driver, like a local one for the day. I would recommend trying to book like through the ones that are like on the streets, kind of like local businesses that are advertising, like where we have cab drivers for the day, because those are the ones that are locals. They have, I know that in Asia, there's like two kind of like Uber Lyfts rideshare services that they have. It's called Grab is one of them. And the other one's called Gojek for different parts of Asia. And for both of those are more so people apparently that are not local to the town, you know, just kind of anyone who's able to get a car and be able to drive. So for Bali, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. And then for Singapore, decent amount of time in the car, but that's just because it was so hot and it's a little bit more modern, so we could just hire somebody to, like, we called a Grab, like an Uber, almost every time, and they were like super quick about getting us somebody to be able to drive around. But we also did a fair amount of walking there. Did you have to do a lot of walking, Jackie, or was it all by car, or what was it like in Thailand?
We did some walking. And then, but to get to the places we wanted to go, it was mostly driving. I think the first 5 days, we did hire a driver with that came with the van. But then my longest car ride was 10 hours.
Jeez. 10-hour car ride? Where were you going?
We were going to... We were in Bangkok. And then I think the place that we drove to that was that took 10 hours was Kanchanaburi.
And Kanchanaburi.
Yeah, that's one of the places we stayed at. But yeah, I was just wanted to know how long your car ride was, because I was like, I was in this car for 10 hours. I mean, like, obviously we stopped to the restroom and everything, but I was like...
Yeah, I think the longest car ride that I ever had was 2 hours long, and that's because in Bali, their roads are really narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, there's a lot of traffic, so you're just kind of like... They're all being, like, respectful and just try to make sure that they're traveling safely, but that... Like, no longer than 2 hours for, like, a car ride.
But yeah, I think our trips were pretty fun. I would definitely go to Thailand again.
Yeah, Kayla and I were saying we definitely want to go back to Bali at some point. Just because, even though it's a small island, there's so much there to do. And there's so much there to explore. And, like, we didn't even touch any of, like, the beach clubs or, like, the, like, nice, like, clubs that they have there. And it's usually better to travel with a big group of people because then you can get a villa where it's like all inclusive as well. Like the breakfast is there and everything. So maybe just friend zone trip to Bali and all of us just ball out on a villa together with a private pool.
Do one of those, the Instagram worthy ones, the ones that have like the infinity pool or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love, I think like every time we have like an activity that we're talking about, Damien always goes, just friend zone trip. Is the same thing for the Anime Expo one or the anime episode? He was like, just friend zone Anime Expo.
I'm down.
Wait. Hold on. Okay. Wait, Josh, did you say you're down?
Where?
Anime Expo.
I was talking about the Bali trip.
Dude, I'm so excited.
I mean, I'll go to the Anime Expo. I just won't be as excited as you guys. But
I'm so excited.
We all have to cosplay.
We literally talked about it in that podcast episode. We're like, the only person we probably have to convince to go is Josh.
Y'all gonna make me drive either way. So.
Well, like Damien's idea was, or Damien put forth the idea that we could do an Airbnb and then do like a multi-day trip. And because then one thing he said about like that kind of affected my trip was probably that I only went for a quick 1 day trip and I didn't do like a full day experience. So
You really want to smell BO. So
yes. So I have to do the nighttime activity where I go to a dance and I don't know if they're a minor or if they're a dude. Right, Damien? He gave us a thumbs up.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I'm married now, so I don't have to do that anymore. But you know, that is part of the experience, just being in the crowd and just being like, no one touch me, I'm just here. Anime Expo this year is actually from Saturday to Tuesday, since it's July 1st to the 4th.
Anyways, thanks for listening to our trip.
We could talk about that off podcast. Yeah. Jack, you want to do the sign off?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, you were already doing it, but...
She always goes, thanks for listening, and then she backs out, and I was like...
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning into another Just Friend Zone podcast. I hope you heard enough good stories from me and Damien about our trip to all the places he went, and then the single place that I went. But other than that, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.